Fancy. Ricky, would you get him a fresh cup of water, if you don't mind? Just set it back here in case he needs it. He didn't need a sunny flower, but in case he does.
This must be an updated version of mine or something. Well, thank the Lord. We'll find where to put all this stuff, amen. Put that there. And then I'll record to make sure what he recorded is the same as what I recorded. You know, I found I don't get to do it all the time, but I found it's a good thing to record your messages sometimes, because people say that I say stuff I didn't say.
Right.
And I do record a lot of my messages, not for pride's sake, amen, but I have been accused of saying stuff I have not said. And so it's good to have copy and record it. I do appreciate you coming this week. I appreciate people that have labored and come, and some of you drove a few hours to come. Got up early this morning, come be in the meeting, and we thank the Lord for you. And you're not here by accident. None of you are here by accident. You're here by ordained plan. And Pastor and I was praying last night, even during the prayer meeting, amen, that you may not understand this, but if God don't want certain people here, that God would hinder them from coming. And so we want everybody here that needs to be here, but we also don't want the devil to send hindrances. Now, I trust you'll not get nervous about this, amen, but sometimes when God begins to work in a meeting, amen, there can be disruptions.
Right.
I was in this type of a meeting years ago for Pastor Harvey that I just preached for, and we had the state police that interrupted the meeting. In fact, one officer about drove under the arbor, and people complained about volume and stuff like that. Of course, you'd have to know Brother Harvey, amen. He just does not, he don't care, amen. And one night they come up there and clip the microphone cords into little bitty pieces. Amen. They sent me a message, amen. Evidently, I was too loud and spewed pop all over the songbook, just trying to show themselves. But let's just let the Lord, like the pastor said, let the Lord have his will and way, and let God speak to your hearts. And I do appreciate the hospitality of this church and what they have shown us, the kindness that they have shown us, a place to stay. And I got a good night's rest, and I thank the Lord for that. And just a really nice place, amen, to stay, and thank God for the church, and appreciate you laboring. I know that don't just happen. There's people here, men here, that are laboring, and so this church can have a meeting like this. This meal didn't just show up in those crock pots, okay? You know, you ladies have labored, and we appreciate that. And what you've done to feed us and all the meals. So I want to thank you in advance. And I always want to be grateful of what churches do for me and my family. So people don't have to have you in. We thank the Lord for it. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn back to Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1. You that are saved, I trust that you'll be praying this week. The pastor's already exhorted us to do so. Pray that God will speak to our hearts and minister to us. And I trust that God will do a mighty work in these days. Isaiah chapter 1, we'll not read all the scripture again that we read this morning. I want to start reading in verse number 5 of Isaiah chapter 1. If you're physically able to do so, let's go ahead and stand. We might be sitting for a little while. Appreciate you being here. I want to say that. I appreciate you being here. Let me say again, I encourage you to come to the meetings this week. You're a member at Manasseh, or you attend this church. You know, the pastor would be encouraged if you would come this week. We can't make you come, but you ought to want to come. There's people that drove into this meeting. They'll probably be here at every service. Come and be a part of the meeting. Amen. And God will help you. I believe that. The Bible says in verse number 5, why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you for this black back book, this King James Bible. Thank you, Lord, for the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for calling me to preach. Thank you, Lord, for putting me in the ministry of evangelism. And Lord, whether it be under an arbor, in a church, or on the streets, which I've been on the streets many times, evangelizing. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, today, Lord, to preach your word. We're keenly aware that without you, we can do nothing. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd speak to hearts. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. Save the lost. Revive the saints in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. For the benefit of those that didn't get to be in the Sunday school hour, we began a message this morning during the Sunday school hour of the case against you. The case against you. Isaiah is the man of God, and he's kind of like the prosecutor. Of course, God is speaking through Isaiah and bringing the indictments against the land of Israel, a people that knew God, knew about the works of God, knew about the miracles of God, knew about the provision of God. And many of these things in times past, our nation has known some of the same things. But God uses Isaiah to condemn them in that they have forsaken the heritage that they have known. The forsaken heritage, amen. And our country, amen, today is in the same state. We have forsaken. Years ago, long before any of us showed up, amen, we knew something about a touch, a revival, and a touch of the moving of God in our nation. I've seen little inklings of that. Brother Tim has seen a little inkling of that over the years, that we have been in the ministry, but nothing like we had seen in times past. It is because we have forsaken the things of God. The Bible says that the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. The wicked in all nations that forsake God shall be turned into hell. And certainly our nation today is on that broad path that leads to destruction. Forsaken heritage, amen. He begins to bring the indictments against them. And how that they had forsaken him, just like an ox that knew his master, or his ass his master's crib, and yet they had forsaken and rebelled against him, amen. And so God begins to bring these indictments of the forsaken heritage. With the Lord's help, I want to deal with not only the forsaken heritage, but the fatal wound. The fatal wound in verses 5 and 6. The Bible tells us, amen, about the testimony of this wound in verse number 5. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. Certainly this is a picture of man in his lost condition. I know it is referencing the nation of Israel, and possibly even a man that's using as an illustration that has literally almost been beat to death. But listen, if you realize what a sinner is and what they can become, certainly the whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. Amen. And that's what it's dealing with, the testimony of this wound. Notice in Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 13, the Bible says here, "For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts." Go over to Jeremiah chapter number 2. Jeremiah chapter number 2. And I'll wait on you to get there. Jeremiah chapter number 2. And I believe it's verse number 30. Amen. You'll have to excuse me. Sometimes I'm not in an arbor meeting, a tent meeting. You can't turn to a lot of scripture. Amen. And that's on purpose. Amen. Your Bible will get blown everywhere. Amen. I certainly don't want this Bible. If it falls on the ground, we'll never put it back together. Amen. Amen. And so notice this. In verse number 30 of Jeremiah chapter 2. "In vain have I smitten your children. They received no correction. Your own sword had devoured your prophets like a devouring lion." And then chapter 5 of Jeremiah and verse number 3. We're talking here about how Israel had been smitten. Amen. Jeremiah 5 and verse number 3. "O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, and they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, and they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock, and have refused to return." Amen. The testimony of the wound. I want to remind you, amen, who was smiting Israel and who was smiting this individual that is illustrated in our text. God was smiting them. God was dealing with them. Listen, many times we want to say, well, the preacher is preaching against what I'm doing and how I'm living, amen. But I'm going to tell you, through the preaching of the Word of God, God is the one that, listen, puts the hammer down and then begins to smite the individual. Smite them in the heart. Smite them in their lives, amen. It's God that does that. And God is beginning to use the Word of God through the man of God to smite and strike against Israel. The testimony of the wound, amen. And then notice the totality of the wound in verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, "The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it." It says there's full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Amen. God will use the Word of God not only to smite you and to strike you. Amen. But He will show you how full of sin that you are. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, whose feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their ways, the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." God begins to use the precious Word of God to smite and to strike and even strike to the heart, amen. Sinners, thank God for that. Has God the Holy Ghost ever brought you to the judgment bar of God and begin to smite you and begin to strike you. Amen. I'm going to tell you, not only the testimony of the wound, but the totality of the wound. Listen, friend, the Bible says we're all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Who can say I've made my heart clean? I'm pure from my sin. Not one, amen. Not one individual. It doesn't matter what ritual you do. It doesn't matter what religious activity you do, amen. It's made you none better, but it's made you only grow worse, amen. Man, at his best state, it's altogether vanity. Vanity. You may try to improve yourself. I've seen people try to adopt religious activities, religious formalities, amen. But they don't get any better. At least I've even seen people make professions, amen. And listen, friend, I remember, listen, back years ago at a local church that I was a member of, a guy said he got saved. He looked more miserable than he did before he said he got saved. I wanted to tell him, amen, give me the old one back, amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you, friend, when you get relief from sin and relief from the bondage of sin, amen, it ought to cause a little joy, a little peace, a little happiness in your life, amen. Hallelujah. When you find out from God that God took your sins and He bore His sins, your sins in His own body on a tree. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, Brother Tim, God was using him there the other night to preach on Calvary. And you know why some people can't get excited about that kind of message? Now, I know we're all different. Y'all are here. I'm not making fun of you here. Here's what I'm seeing out of most of you. Amen. Hallelujah. We're all different. I understand that. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, friend, I'll tell you why some people can't get excited about preaching on the cross and preaching about Calvary and preaching about Him being our sin bearer. They've never been there. Amen. I tell you what, I don't ever want to get over, son. Nice glass. I got some of them too in my work glasses. Amen. Hey, listen, friend. I don't ever want to get over what God did for me when He saved me. Amen. Listen, friend. I wasn't nobody. I couldn't merit God's favor. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but it's according to His mercy He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, amen. But when I think, amen, how full of sin I was before God saved me, and He became sin for us, amen.
Right.
What a blessing. There wasn't nothing good about me. All of my righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. But thank God, amen, I'm glad for the day when God brought me into the courtroom of God's holy law. Amen. I tell you what we need. We need more law preaching in its rightful order. Amen. You can't be saved by keeping the law, but you can't be saved without the law, because the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law says thou shalt, and we don't. The law says thou shalt not, and we do. The law proves we are lawbreakers. We are transgressors. We're full of iniquities, amen. I'm going to tell you, when you see from God how full of sin you are, amen, you'll want a way out. You'll want to escape. You'll want to flee for refuge. To lay hold on the hope that is set before you, amen.
Amen.
That's right, young lady. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the day. That old-fashioned conviction. I felt, but God put the squeeze on me.
That's right.
I mean, He put the squeeze on me. Some people said, it feels like you're having a heart attack. Some people say it's hard to breathe. I don't know what your case is, amen. But I'm going to tell you, when God begins to show you the utter guiltiness and the utter unworthiness of you are, that you are, amen, I tell you, you'll not feel comfortable. But thank God, amen, for the day that God shows us the whole head from the top of the head to the sole of the feet. There's nothing good about us. The only good thing about me is God. That's only, and the only good thing about me is what God put on the inside. And that's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He makes me fit for heaven. I'm not going to heaven. Listen to me. I'm not going to heaven, Tim, for Rose's sake. I'm going to heaven for Christ's sake. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all mind if I hack a little bit? We hack down south. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Amen. For that glad day, Sister Gearhart, when God stepped into my life, God interrupted my plans. God made a move on my behalf because I wasn't making no moves toward God. Amen. I didn't really care about God. I didn't really care about the things of God. And I was probably raised similar to some of you. Raised where the Bible was read, where there was prayer in the home. And listen, I was going my own way, walking my own path. Amen. And I was going to walk right out and go my own way, join the Marine Corps. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for the grace of God, son, I'd still be in my sin. I'd still be lost. I could be already in hell today. But I tell you, one day, the God of glory come and interrupted all my plans. Amen. And he showed me I was lost. You're going to get saved. You say, why all the bad news? If you're going to get right with God, you've got to have bad news before you ever get good news. Amen. Amen. That law's our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Amen. We're all as an unclean. The Bible says, listen, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to tell you, friend, one day sin's going to pay you off. One day, son, listen, friend, you're thinking you're having a good time. There's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. But I'm going to tell you, one day, sin's going to pay you off. The devil's going to pay you off. And I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to drag your soul to hell and the lake of fire. Amen. That's what he's going to do. Right. Totality of the wound. Amen. The whole head's sick. The whole heart's faint. You say, well, I'm a pretty good individual. I'm a pretty good person. There's none good. No, not one. Not one. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go forth as soon as they be born, speaking lies. I was going to introduce my family, amen, but I forgot. I don't guess that was God's will, amen. But God's blessed us with a wonderful wife, amen. Seven children. And I didn't have to teach one of my children to lie. Ain't that amazing?
Unwanted natural gifts.
Now, I don't want them to do it here, amen. I'm going to tell you, I ain't had to teach none of my children to steal. You know why? It's already inbred in them. Unfortunately, and I'm ashamed of it, I was a petty thief before I got right with God. I go to Ben Franklin, amen. We was able to walk across the hill from J.J. Kelly at the government school, amen, to Ben Franklin. And it was like a five and dime store, the old-fashioned five and dime. Not even many Ben Franklin's left now. And I'd steal candy and gum, amen, out of the Ben Franklin before I got saved. And I ain't had to teach. I didn't sit down and have a class for my kids and teach them any of that. David, that last week, amen, he went up through the refreshment line, snack shop, amen, and he helped himself to a stick of a meat stick. Amen. And my wife called him, amen, went up there and took it off our account, amen. He stole it and he was corrected about it. Nobody told him to do that. Don't look innocent, amen. Nobody has to teach your kids to steal either. Some of you adults still rob and steal. This might help the offering, amen. If you're a member of this church, amen, and you don't give to the Lord's work, you're a robber and a thief anyway. Amen. But nobody has to teach kids to do that. It's inbred in them because they have a sin nature. But thank God for the day where God the Holy Ghost shows you that you're inept of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost begins to work. And the Holy Ghost begins to pull off the layers, maybe of religion and self-righteousness and morality off of your life. And all the lies and all the veneer that you put on and shellacked yourself and you think you're a pretty good person. Amen. But the Holy Ghost, when He gets in the arrangements, amen, He'll show you from the top of the head to the sole of the feet, there's no soundness in you. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says the heart, that heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know the heart? Well, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. If we just reveal the heart, amen, of each individual here, we'd be amazed. We'd be astounded. Would you be willing, amen, to step up if we could just film your mind and pull down a screen and see what's exactly in your heart? Out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, murders. We'll have some precious people here this week. Old Willen. But I've had friends that kind of been in awe, and I'm not throwing off. The dear pastor, he works. And it works for him, provides his living. But they're in awe about the people in this community. You know what I'm saying. I said, those people don't know the Lord. It's only a form. That's all it is. It ain't no different what some of you are doing. Except they're more stringent about it. And they're going to end up in a crisis eternity in hell. You know how I know that? People that I know that have got saved, amen, they all get rejected out of the community. You say it's pretty strict, amen. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you one better than that. If you truly get saved, most of your family may reject you too. But if you're not willing to forsake mother and father, amen, you're not worthy of him, amen. Thank God for the glad day, Rebecca, when God begins to walk into our lives in the person of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God begins to dig around our lives. The pastor was talking about the plow, amen. None of these fields are going to be productive. That's a nice deer stand up there. None of those fields are going to be productive, amen, unless the ground is dug up. How do you think you're going to get right with God unless God digs you up and digs you out?
That's right.
And shows you what you really are. And that's what God does. He says, Israel, you've forsaken me, and the problem's at the heart. You're utterly wicked. You're full of ungodliness and sins. totality of the wound. Then notice the torment of the wound. It's full of wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. This individual, it seems like that he's illustrating here is someone that's severely beaten or scourged for crimes. And the wounds have not been dressed. He has wounds, open cuts from which blood flows. He has bruises, swellings. He has putrefying sores. Sores that have not been dressed, and therefore infections is spreading throughout the body. And this is an individual, and he's picturing Israel. We've already pointed out the scriptures that it was God smiting them through the word of God and smiting them with plagues and smiting them with enemy nations. Therefore, amen, here they are. Brother Ricky, they're about beat to death. And still, the Bible says they revolt more and more. What's it going to take for you to get right with God? God's smitten you, beat you, took the hammer of God's word and drove it to your very heart and let you sit there smug in your rebellion and revolt against God. I'm glad there's one took our punishment, and just like this individual, he's referring to Israel, had been literally almost beaten to death. But in another way, amen, I believe it points to the Son of God. He was wounded for our transgressions. Just kidding. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Thank God, with his stripes we're healed. Yes, the word of God many times literally pummels, drives, and digs on sinners. Thank God, I'm glad there was a Savior. Who is he? He's the God-man. That one day, he took what we deserved. He became what we were. Even though he knew no sin, he became sin for us. There I see now, thank God, on that old Roman cross, and he's there bleeding and dying and becoming a sacrifice for sin. And nobody that day could have ever recognized him, just like this man, literally about beat to death. You couldn't even recognize the Son of God. He was almost like, if you'll excuse me, like human hamburger hanging there on the cross. God's doing business with sin. Your sin, my sin. He's hanging there. He's bleeding. He's dying. Because we never could get to God except it be for a cross. And thank God, the living, dying, bleeding Son of God was hanging there in our stead He suffered my punishment. He suffered what I should have suffered. I should have died, but really if I had, it made no difference. Thank God he came from heaven's glory and came down to this world and he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If you won't come God's way, to the Son of God that was pummeled, smitten, slain as the literal, the Lamb of God, then you'll never have your sins taken away. You'll never be forgiven. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you abstain from. That'll never deal with the sin question. You know, let's just be real honest. Some of you, you're not interested in this, and I can't make you pay attention. But I know one that cares about you, and he died in your place. And he loved you so much that he became sin for you. You say, preacher, I'm full of sin. You showed me from the Scriptures we're full of sins. But thank God. God don't want to leave you in that state. He became sin for you. For us. He died. He was buried. And no other God can say this. On the third day, he rose again for our justification. If he had just died, it would have been the end of the story. But he didn't die and just lay in a grave and motor away. Thank God, amen, he rose again the third day. How? By his own power. He got up. Who else can say that? Nobody but Jesus. And God raised him up and he's at the right hand of the Father. Today. He's making intercession. I want to say something. I believe he's praying for this meeting. He's interceding. He knows the needs of the hearts that are represented here today. You say, what's the invitation? If you see yourself a sinner, then you can come to the Savior. If you'll come on his terms. You can't make out your own list and say, well, this, this, and this. No, you come on his terms. And he says it's repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. You can repent all day long, but if you never place faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll die and go to hell. But if you put your trust in him, God has assured you from his word that you'll have everlasting life. You know, I trust you'll come this week. If you are saved, I trust that you'll pray. There's people here that admit they're not right with God. And I want to say I sincerely appreciate you making an effort to come to a preaching meeting where you know you'll probably get hammered. But we ain't going to force you to do anything against your will. God needs to break that stubborn, revolting, rebellious will. And you come to Christ by faith. He cares about you. And the same God that smites you is the same God that will save you.
Right.
He's got the wounds, just like we preach from this scripture. He's got the wounds to prove it. Wounds in his hands. Wounds in his head. Wounds in his side. Wound in his side. Wounds in his feet. He was treated just like this individual, whether it be an individual or it was Israel. He was treated the same way for us. Father, there's much, much more information in Isaiah chapter 1 that could be preached, should be preached. But Lord, I want to be sensitive to you this week. If you tell me to preach for a long time, I want to preach a long time. If you tell me to exhort and preach, I want to be sensitive. Whatever this pastor and the Lord wants me to do, I want to be sensitive to do it. Now, Lord, I pray that people do business with God this week. I pray that saints would draw nigh to God so God can hear their praying. And Lord, send revival. And then Lord, I pray that sinners would be attuned to the gospel. And Lord, break with sin and come to the Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.
I want to close this morning with a few thoughts. I have no authority.